title of today's message is a question. What if we believed? What would happen if we believed God? How much different would church be? How much different would the world be if we believed God? Okay, so I'll kind of let you know ahead of time. I'll be sharing testimony with you. A lot of it's testimony I've already shared with you. And so you'll say, well, you've already shared that, but there's a purpose. And so I'm not just repeating for the sake of repeating, but I'm making a point with this. Okay, so we're going somewhere. There are various realms of faith. How many of you believe in the man upstairs? Sometimes you're talking, you know, do you believe in God? Oh, I believe in the man upstairs. You know, I don't know what they mean by that. You know, usually because maybe something happened in your life, and or the man upstairs, he saved me from that wreck or whatever, you know. And that's okay. You know, but we need to move in realms of faith. And I'll go into them and try to explain as I go along. And I kind of want to condition this by, if this goes over your head, it's okay. If you, when we get done and you say, I don't understand the thing he said, that's going to be fine, okay? Because we're going into a depth that it may be a little mind-boggling, but that's okay. Believe, there are these various things. Now, if you believe on God, okay, now that's, you're standing outside of this realm of faith, but you have heard the gospel preached. You've heard about this man, Jesus, who died for your sins. And so the statement is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And that takes you from the outer realm into the inner realm. And now you are born again. And then there's the statement, believe in God. Okay, I believe in God. And of course, there again, you have to condition, because I've run into situations where I've actually had to ask them, and which God do you believe in? They'll say, well, I believe in, you know, the God that created the heavens and the earth. And I say, but do you believe in Jesus Christ? Oh, no, I don't believe in Jesus. I said, well, you don't believe in the right God. You may believe in God, but look at your life. Your life is ruined, and obviously, it's the wrong God. No. But it's good that we believe in God, because there is a sustaining faith that comes from believing in God. But then there is higher realms of faith. And Romans 1:17 puts it this way. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now listen to it from the Amplified Bible. For in the gospel, a righteousness which God describes is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith, as it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live, and shall live by faith. Jesus, after he had spoken to the fig tree and it dried up, explaining it to his disciples, and he said these words, have faith in God. And that's good, and that's, a lot of times in translation, they're trying to make it understandable. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, have God faith. In the Greek, there's a Greek word for in, E-N, and it's not in the sentence anywhere. Doesn't say anything about have faith in God. It just says have God faith. So there is this higher realm of faith. And Jesus, speaking to the father of the son that was epileptic, said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believe. Okay? All things are possible. Now, are we moving in that kind of believing? That's the question. And if we did, what would things look like? What would church be like if you believed God? Okay.
Sure.
Romans 4:3 says it this way, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God. Didn't say Abraham believed in God. It said Abraham believed God.
Yes.
There is a difference.
Yes.
Both of them are legitimate, but one is a higher realm than the other. And the believing God will actually cause you to do something. You can believe in God and sit in your living room and say, I believe in God. See, but to believe God means that whatever he says to do, you're going to do it. And the end result of that is called works. Okay? That God has actually produced something because of faith. Now let's go back to faith and some of these things. We, like I said, we cover them over and over. But faith is very simple. Faith is the Father spoke and the Spirit moved. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So everything that God did, he did by faith. So when we say have God faith, then we should be able to do what he does. The scripture says, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. So there is a realm of faith that is called holy faith. And we can move in that realm. But you have to be built up in that holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit or praying in tongues. So the more you pray in tongues, the more the events or hardships or whatever will show up so that you can move in this believing realm.
Amen.
Now, the difference is, one of the main differences is that it's never our idea. Never. If you're moving in holy faith, it's never your idea. It's not, you get up in the morning, you say, I'm going to believe God for... No, you'll be in an impossible situation and there's nothing you can do about it, but you're there. You're it. But because God has initiated it, he's going to tell you how to do, what to do. He's going to speak through you. He's going to work through you. And the next thing you know, you have a miracle. So this is this realm of higher faith. And so it wasn't Abraham's idea to leave the Ur of Chaldees and head toward what would eventually be the Promised Land. He left because it was God's idea. And it was God's faith and God's faithfulness that sustained him. It wasn't Abraham's idea to have a baby when he was 100 years old. That was God's idea. See? And then when he offered Isaac on the mountain, that wasn't Abraham's idea. That was God's idea. You go up there and prepare a sacrifice and all of that. All of it was God's idea. See? So this believing God, Abraham believed God. He just kept going because God kept talking to him. Do this, do this, do this, do this. And so, moving into this higher realm of faith, and I think about it, and people ask me, you've had so many of these events happen in your life. How did you get there? Well, I had no explanation because it just happened, so I don't know. So I asked God, I said, explain it to me. So this is what you have today, is God's explanation to me about how I got there. So, and of course, one of my favorite sayings is I can always tell when I'm believing God, because I believe God and it happens, and after it happens, I still can't believe it happened. Because it's not us. This is God's doing. Hallelujah. So I'm thinking the first event that I had, I was 12 years old and had been a Christian 3 years by this time, and God had called me to into the ministry before that, a year before that. So I'd been called to the ministry for a year and living in the Word, living in the Bible. I know I've told you this story. I'd go up in the chicken house and the attic of the chicken house, which had actually been somebody's house at one time. They built another house, and so they turned the old house into a chicken house. And they had an attic, so I could go up, open the door, and climb up in there. And that was my prayer place, my holy of holies. And I'd go in, and I'd talk to God. And he said, oh, I want to teach you about faith. Of course, I didn't know back then that God doesn't talk anymore. No, God quit talking once the Bible was finished. Well, that's what people tell me anyway. But they forgot to tell me early enough, because God has talked to me all my born-again life, 70 years now. Hallelujah. Anyway, he said, well, ask me for anything that you want. And I said, okay, I lost my baseball. So would you show me where my baseball is? And he said, now all I want you to do is to thank me and praise me for accomplishing this. And so, and he's teaching me. I don't know. I'm just a little kid sitting there. Well, I worship you, and I thank you, Lord, for showing me where my baseball is. Crawled down through the hole, down the chicken roost. That was my ladder. It was the chicken roost. Went outside, and all of a sudden I felt directed, and I just walked. And I walked, and I walked, and I walked, and I looked down, and there was my baseball. Amen. Boy, I headed back. I went upstairs, and I said, Father, and I lost my little metal car. And I worship you, and I thank you. And so, and then once again, I just went downstairs. I walked outside, headed off a total different direction. I walked, and I walked, and I walked. I looked down, and there was my car. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so that was kind of a beginning for me. But we've seen many miracles. Eyes opened, the dead raised, ears open, bones mended, and all of these things. But in all of it, it was never my idea. It was face to face with a situation, and it's like, well, nothing I can do about it. And then God will say, do this or do this. I remember when I was pastoring in northern Missouri, a little town of Dunlap. We had a fellow that he was in his 60s. He'd had two heart attacks. and he had a grocery store. And our church was in the basement of the grocery store. And the doctors told him, they said, if you so much as lift a can of beans, you'll probably suffer another heart attack and die. And so he was trying to be real careful. But we were meeting. The Spirit of the Lord was moving. And his name was Cliff Betts. And Cliff came forward and said, would you pray for my heart? And just all of a sudden, here again, not my idea, but all of a sudden, we just spoke to his heart. And we got through it, and nothing changed that we could tell. And so he told him, now, you know, go to the doctor and have them examine you. So he went as quick as he could get an appointment. They run a cardiogram or whatever that thing is. And the nurse ran it. And then she came back with it. And the doctor just really bawled her out. You know, you don't know how to do anything right. This is the heart of a five-year-old. A tape. You know. He said, you go do it again. So she went and ran it again. Came back. It was the same thing. He said, well, I guess I'll just have to do it myself. And so he went and ran it. Cliff had the heart of a five-year-old child.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In that same church, had this lady that she had never been to the church in her life. She had a very, very mean, horrible husband. But she had 9 children. And someone went by and said, would you like to go to church with us? And she said, well, I don't know anything about church. I've never been to church, And he said, well, come and hear the preaching of the gospel. And of course, all she had was just, she said, I don't have any good clothes. And he said, that's all right. Just wear your house dress. And so she wore her house dress and went to the revival. And, oh my, she got convicted, and the Spirit of God moved on her. And so she goes forward at the altar and kneels at the altar at the invitation and prays and asks Jesus, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. So she did. Well, she immediately started speaking in tongues. Of course, they looked at the way she was dressed and her speaking in tongues, and they said, oh, you're one of those Pentecostals. She said, well, I don't know anything about what you're talking about. I've never been to church in my life. I don't know what a Pentecostal is. Did I do something wrong? Anyway, they wouldn't let her come back to that church, and so one of our people got a hold of her and brought her over. And she was just like a sponge. She just wanted, I want all of it. So, and there was a couple of miracles kind of going together here. That I'd been over to another town visiting a lady, and I was coming back. Well, we had a tornado come through, and as I was coming back, it was coming right at me. And all of a sudden, it just veered off. It was terrified of me, I guess. But it took off. But it went right straight toward this lady's house. But I'd already told her, we have power and authority over the storms. All you have to do is believe. And so God told her, go out, stand at your... She had a yard fence and a gate. And he said, go out, stand at the gate and rebuke the storm. So she went out, left her 9 kids in the house, and stood there and waited for the thing to come. And she said, in the name of Jesus. And that thing picked up, went across, took 6 bricks off the top of her chimney. 3-story house. Fell on the other side. I don't know, Mark, if I ever took you out there to show you. But for like 2 miles, for a half mile wide, the only thing standing there was her house. What if we believed? What if we believed? See? And, of course, this Cliff Betts, who was in his 60s, His mom, I think, was in her 90s. They put her, she'd never been in a hospital in her life. But she had this growth growing in her stomach, and they couldn't figure it out, but it's growing really fast. So Cliff told me about it, and I went over there to pray for her and talk to her. She was a wonderful believer, had 12 believing children. All of her children were born again. Cliff was one of them. And anyway, I visited with her for a little while. I'd never met her before. I visited with her, and I said, well, can I pray for you? And so I prayed, and all of a sudden, here again, not my idea, but God said, rebuke that growth. And so I rebuked the growth, and I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. And I left. I went back a week later, and I went to her room, and it was empty. And you know how your heart just sinks, oh my. You know, but you know, she lived a good life. Anyway, I went to the nurse's station, and I said, well, where's Mrs. Betts? Oh, she's down the hallway waiting for you. What? So I went down to her, and she had big, thick glasses and hearing aids. And so I walk in, and she has no glasses on and no hearing aids. She looks up and says, hi, Wayne. I said, you can see me? She said, not only can I see you, I hear you. And look, the growth is gone. What if we believed? What if we believed? What would life be like if we believed God? And Abraham believed God. And Abraham believed God. Hallelujah. Romans 4, 17 through 18, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of whom, in him who he believed, that is of God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Calling those things which are not as though they are. Now, God created everything by the word of God, which is the law of God, by the command of God. Okay? So, everything is by law. But sin disrupted things so that things begin to deteriorate and fall apart, including our physical bodies and things. So God isn't going contrary to his law when he heals you. Or when he does a miracle. See, he can go even above his own law to do what he wants to do. And it's a higher faith. Okay? What God spoke to me 2 or 3 months ago, he said, I'm taking you beyond the beyond. Beyond the beyond. I have no idea. And I just, you know, some of those things, you just put them on a shelf. You kind of, you know, because you don't know what he's talking about, and he still hadn't explained it to me. And maybe never will. I don't know. But I'm willing, as Mark's song was. Hey, I'm here. I want your presence. I want you acting. I surrender all. You just do whatever you want to do. You know, that's fine with me. Jesus said, I do what I see my Father do. I speak what I hear my Father speak. Wasn't Jesus' idea. Now this was Jesus' idea. He just did what, you know, he was on earth to do. We are the body of Christ. We're here just to do. And by the way, I know so many people get bound up by, oh, I've got to go do a miracle. Or I have to go, you know, I have to do some great work of faith. And let me assure you, you don't have to do a thing.
That's right.
You don't have to do a thing. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life has made us free from the law of sin and death. You know, those of us that were raised Baptist, oh, you've got to win a soul today. No, I don't have to do anything.
That's right.
I don't have to do a single thing except worship God. That's all I have to do. And then he gives me assignments. But what happens is we become so busy that we don't have time to listen or to carry out the assignments. But God is doing something. He's simplifying your life. He's simplifying your life. And don't be afraid of that. You don't have to be busy. You don't have to be busy. But you do need to be obedient to the moving of the Spirit of God. So if you spend 2 or 3 or 4 hours praying in tongues, and then God can use you in this higher realm of faith, according to God, that's worthwhile. Where all of our busyness will just wear us out. Now, that doesn't mean to be lazy. I'm not talking about being lazy. It's just talking about getting everything in proper order so that we can carry out assignments, making contacts. And it's fun. I have lots of fun. The other morning, we got back from Florida, spent 2 weeks down there with Danny and Tatiana, and came back, and I was, on Sunday morning, just loving the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and he began to speak to me even about this. And I went to church, and one of the ladies was very keen about spiritual things, and she said, "Wayne, you aren't saying anything." And I said, "I'm on vacation. I'm resting." And our pastor, he came over and greeted me and gave me a big hug. And he's always wanting to know, you know, what God's speaking to me. And so I began to talk to him about it. And I said, "Now, Richard, there's a difference between believing in God and believing God."
Right.
He looked at me and he said, "That's my sermon for this morning." Is that fun or is that fun?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
How is this sermon? Hallelujah. So, what if we believed God? What if we just spent the time? Oh, and he kind of was puzzled. And he said, I know, but I don't know. So, how would you explain this to me?" And I said, "Okay, let's say that you're a little boy, and so let's say that your mom needed for you to come home. You're out in the street a couple blocks away and you're playing with some friends. Now, mom needs for you to come home, and so she sends your sister over to tell you that mom wants you to come home. Now, that's fine, isn't it?" I said, "Now, what would be the difference if mom left the house and went to you and said, 'Son, I need you at home'?" See, we can read the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So I can read the Bible and receive faith. Right?
Right.
But what if God speaks to me an assignment? Mom says, "Come home." See, There's a big difference between them. There's a big difference between them. Okay. James chapter 2 verse 18 says, but someone will say, you have faith, I have works. James says, show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. Now, we're not talking here about works like salvation, you know, by works. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about results. Okay? He's talking about something that produces something. When God created the universe, he made something out of nothing. We talked about that last month. You are a new creation. So when you were born again, God didn't just make you a better person. He killed you and made you a new person.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad of that? Hallelujah. And so this faith that we're talking about, and by the way, it was the same faith that they received on the day of Pentecost, because when they were asking them about this, and of course Peter said, this is what was prophesied in Joel, yeah, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and so forth. And but you go on down, and it says, for we do hear them speak in our language the wonderful works of God. Now, they were speaking creation words, but they weren't creating anything. They were simply rehearsing, as you were earlier, rehearsing who God is and what he does. See, we're not, that's not nothing new. It doesn't come into existence because we're saved. Let me give you an exercise. What if at about 6 o'clock every morning we went out and we said, in the name of Jesus, I command the sun to come up. And it came up. Now, did we cause it to come up? No. Because it would have come up anyway. But we're speaking what God spoke. We're speaking what God spoke. And so, when it says, we do hear them speak in our language, our tongue, the wonderful works of God, they were actually kind of running out of gear, like if you went out and started your car, but you never put it in gear. You know. But that's good. We need to do that every day. I do. Yeah. I do that every day. I like to start my motor before I put it in gear. Yeah. It's a good idea if you want to go in one. If you want that truck to move, you know, it's good to start it. And sometimes when it gets a little cold, it's a little harder to start. And sometimes I have a little difficult, you know, getting my motor running. But I get praise and worship. I put on my worship music, put on the shofar for 20 minutes, and then bring in worship music. And then I begin to quote the Word of God and move and to speak. And then God begins to speak to me what he wants me to proclaim for the day, things that haven't happened yet. But God is speaking it into existence. He will use you and I to speak these things into existence. We are taking over the world. I hope you know that. God is taking over the world. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And assuredly, as the sun comes up, it's going to happen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he is... I love it in Joel chapter 2. It says, I know my Redeemer lives. And in the end,
amen,
he will stand on the earth. I know it. That's the oldest book in the Bible. And he knew it. I know it.
Yes.
I know it.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I don't care how much mobs rule and do all kinds of stuff, and the politicians, all there's. It doesn't matter. God wins. God is taking over, and He's going to do it through the body of Christ. He's going to do it through the believers who believe.
Amen.
There's a lot of believers that don't believe. I want to be a believing believer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I think I shared with you last winter that I was headed up toward Marshall, Missouri. And, of course, I've been watching the forecast, and they were forecasting freezing rain, sleet, and snow all coming in, and it was coming down from the north. And so I talked to the Lord about it, and I said, you know, first of all, do you want me to go or to stay home? And He said, go. And I said, okay, I have four-wheel drive. Should I take the four-wheel drive or not? And He said, you won't need it. So I said, okay. And so I take off, and I get as far up on 65 as Buffalo. I stopped, made a little lunch, and I came out, and I looked, and I mean, it was just black. And it was coming right at me. And then they called on the phone from Marshall, and they said they've canceled school. They've sent all the kids home. They've shut down all government offices, and everything's shut down. So you don't even need to bother to come. But I don't listen to reports. I listen to the living God. And so I get in my car, and I said, Father, what do I do? And He said, raise your hand. So I said, here goes. You never know what kind of God will have you do. But it's okay. I'll be as crazy. How would you like to have been Daniel? I want you to go, and I want you to lay on your side for a week. I can't lay on my side for an hour. I have to flip and flop and, you know. He laid there on his side for a week. Everybody walking by. Why, that crazy prophet. But anyway, I just went like that. I said, in the name of Jesus. And the sky split. And the sun came out. Now the storm was still on each side. And I drove all the way up in sunshine. And I had the largest crowd that I've ever had in Marshall. What if we believe God? What would life be like if we believe God? And of course, I know I've shared with you, when I came down from Minnesota, I'd been up there ministering and coming back. And it was okay when I left Detroit Lakes. But as I came on down, it started raining. And, of course, as soon as it hit that frozen pavement, it was freezing. And I remember there was a lady out there, and she was hitchhiking. And, you know, it's like, poor thing. You know. But I asked, I said, God, do I pick her up? And He said, absolutely not. It's a trick. I said, okay, driving right on by. By that time, I wasn't on ice. But as I went on down, then all of a sudden it was slick, and semi-trailers was wrecking everywhere. One tragic one was, one semi had slid off into the median. A car slid off behind it. And then another semi, and that car was about that long, squashed between, you know. And, of course, when you're driving on ice, it's, you know, you're white knuckle. You know, and that's the way I was. And I said, Father, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to stop and get a motel? And He said, no. He said, speak to the ice. I said, well, I've never talked to ice. I really don't know what I'm doing here. I said, here goes. Ice in the name of Jesus. I command you to part and let me through. And wide enough for my tires. It opened up. Dry pavement, ice in the middle. And I started praising God. I couldn't believe it had happened, actually. But I was praising God that it did. And so blasting on through. And I stopped worshiping and it closed in again. I spoke to it again and it opened up. I quit praising and it closed up. I said, Father, I'm obviously doing something wrong. What am I doing wrong? And he said, love. I said, love? Oh, I'm just trying to get me through. What about all those in front of me and all those behind me? So I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to part, not only for me, but all those in front of me and all those behind me. And it went zip, and that lane, all the other lanes, three lanes, you know, the passing lane on the freeway and then the two going, still glazed over with ice. And here we were on dry pavement all the way. Damn. What if we believed? What would it be like? What if we believed? Now, we understand that faith works by love. Faith gets its energy. The actual scripture is, circumcision avails nothing, uncircumcision avails nothing, but faith which worketh by love. The Greek word for worketh is energos or energy. Okay, so faith is energized. So, I mean, you ought to come up with a verse something like, even though I have faith to move mountains and have not love, it profits nothing. Somebody ought to write something like that. But that's how it works. God, in his love, needed to create a universe, put an earth and people on the earth as the object of his love. And so faith, working by love, created the universe. Faith by love creates everything today. Every miracle Jesus did, it said, and he had compassion. And he had compassion. He wasn't showing off. He wasn't trying to prove something. He loved. And because he is faith, he's the author and finisher of our faith. Okay? Faith then working, or faith energized by love, it will accomplish works. It will do the job. You get the job done. Okay? Got it? Okay. Now, I never know for sure how things are going to go, but next month, I would like to break all this down for you and just stay in the realm of the faith of God. I have people challenge me all the time on Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. I did it. I don't think I did that. I think God did it. No. I am crucified with Christ. That's a miracle in itself. Hallelujah. I'm crucified with Christ. Yet not I. But Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. The only problem is that isn't there. See? Well, in the newer translations, if you look at that relation to it, it'll say faith in God. But it's not in the original Greek. It is the faith of God. See? And they'll say, well, God don't have faith. How can he be the author and finisher of our faith if he don't have any? How can he give The Holy Spirit give us the gift of faith if you don't have any. Okay? So that's kind of a preview. But I'd like to go there, and I have many scriptures. I won't be able to cover all of them, just like today. I won't be able to cover all the scriptures. But if you're ever challenged, you know, because they want to make it look like it's our doing. I put my faith in Jesus. You know, I made Jesus Lord. Have you ever heard anybody?
Yeah.
I made Jesus. That's so ridiculous. That's so ridiculous. The Father made him Lord.
Amen.
I can surrender to his Lordship, but I can't make him Lord.
That's right.
It's already done.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And so being able to understand the faith of God, how everything he's done by faith.
Amen.
So we'll cover a lot of scripture that will just, if you already know that, it'll re-stir it inside of you. But you need to know that it's not our faith. It's God's faith. And he's faithful to his faith. And he'll accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And all we have to do is obey or cooperate with him in whatever he's doing. Got it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's stand together.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.